Random House Audio presents The Particular Sadness of Lemon Cake. This is the author, Amy Bender. Food is all those substances which, submitted to the action of the stomach, can be assimilated or changed into life by digestion, and can thus repair the losses which the human body suffers through the act of living. The Physiology of Taste, Briat Severin. Part 1. Food. Chapter 1. It happened for the first time on a Tuesday afternoon, a warm spring day in the flatlands near Hollywood, a light breeze moving east from the ocean and stirring the black-eyed pansy petals newly planted in our flower boxes. My mother was home, baking me a cake. When I tripped up the walkway, she opened the front door before I could knock. "How about a practice round?" she said, leaning past the doorframe. She pulled me in for a hello hug, pressing me close to my favorite of her aprons, the worn cotton one trimmed in sketches of twinned red cherries. On the kitchen counter, she'd set out the ingredients: flour bag, sugar box, two brown eggs nestled in the grooves between tiles, a yellow block of butter blurring at the edges, a shallow glass bowl of lemon peel. I toured the row. This was the week of my 9th birthday, and it had been a long day at school of cursive lessons, which I hated, and playground yelling about point scoring, and the sunlit kitchen and my warm-eyed mother were welcome arms open. I dipped a finger into the wax baggie of brown sugar crystals, murmured, "Yes, please, yes." She said there was about an hour to go, so I pulled out my spelling booklet. "Can I help?" I asked, spreading out pencils and papers on the vinyl placemats. "Nah," said Mom, whisking the flour and baking soda together. My birthday is in March, and that year it fell during an especially bright spring week, vivid and clear in the narrow residential streets where we live just a handful of blocks south of Sunset. The night-blooming jasmine that crawled up our neighbor's front gate released its heady scent at dusk, and to the north the hills rolled charmingly over the horizon, houses tucked into the brown. Soon, daylight savings time would arrive, and even at nearly 9, I associated my birthday with the first hint of summer, with the feeling in classrooms of open windows and lighter clothing, and in a few months, no more homework. My hair got lighter in spring, from light brown to nearly blonde, almost like my mother's ponytail tassel. In the neighborhood gardens, the agapanthus plants started to push out their long, green robot stems to open up to soft purples and blues. Mom was stirring eggs. She was sifting flour. She had one bowl of chocolate icing set aside, another with rainbow sprinkles. A cake challenge like this wasn't a usual afternoon activity. My mother didn't bake all that often, but what she enjoyed most was anything tactile, and this cake was just one in a long line of recent varied hands-on experiments. In the last 6 months, she'd coaxed a strawberry plant into a vine, stitched doilies from vintage lace, and in a burst of motivation, installed an oak side door in my brother's bedroom with the help of a hired contractor. She'd been working as an office administrator, but she didn't like copy machines or work shoes or computers. And when my father paid off the last of his law school debt, she asked him if she could take some time off and learn to do more with her hands. "My hands," she told him in the hallway, leaning her hips against his. "My hands have had no lessons in anything." "Anything?" he'd asked, holding tight to those hands. She laughed low. "Anything practical," she said. They were right in the way, in the middle of the hall, as I was leaping from room to room with a plastic leopard. Excuse me, I said. He breathed in her hair, the sweet-smelling thickness of it. My father usually agreed with her requests, because stamped in his two-footed stance and jaw was the word provider, and he loved her the way a birdwatcher's heart leaps when he hears the call of the roseate spoonbill, a fluffy pink wader, calling its lilting cuckoo from the mangroves. Check, says the birdwatcher. Sure, said my father, tapping a handful of mail against her back. Rah, said the leopard, heading back to its lair. At the kitchen table, I flipped through my workbook, basking in the clicking sounds of a warming oven. If I felt a hint of anything unsettling, it was like the sun going swiftly behind a cloud, only to shine straight seconds later. I knew vaguely that my parents had had an argument the night before, but parents had arguments all the time, at home and on TV. Plus, I was still busily going over the bad point scoring from lunch, called by Eddie Oakley with the freckles, who never called fairly. I read through my spelling booklet. Nick, knack, knot, cartwheel, wheelbarrow, wheelie. At the counter, Mom poured thick yellow batter into a greased cake pan and smoothed the top with the flat end of a pink plastic spatula. She checked the oven temperature, brushed a sweaty strand of hair off her forehead with the knob of her wrist. Here we go, she said, slipping the cake pan into the oven. When I looked up, she was rubbing her eyelids with the pads of her fingertips. She blew me a kiss and said she was going to lie down for a little bit. Okay, I nodded. Two birds bickered outside. In my booklet, I picked the person doing a cartwheel and colored her shoes with red laces, her face a light orange. I made a vow to bounce the ball harder on the playground and to bounce it right into Eddie Oakley's corner. I added some apples to the wheelbarrow freehand. The room filled with the smell of warming butter and sugar and lemon and eggs. And at 5, the timer buzzed, and I pulled out the cake and placed it on the stovetop. The house was quiet. The bowl of icing was right there on the counter, ready to go. And cakes are best when just out of the oven, and I really couldn't possibly wait. So I reached to the side of the cake pan, to the least obvious part, and pulled off a small, warm, spongy chunk of deep gold. Iced it all over with chocolate. Popped the whole thing into my mouth. Chapter 2. After my mother quit her job, she spent those first 6 months or so beautifying the house. Each week, a different project. First, she grew that strawberry plant in the backyard, fastening it on the fence until the berries popped points of red in a wavy row. When she was done with that, she curled up on the sofa in heaps of old lace, placing her best new doily beneath a bowl of fresh-picked strawberries. Then she whipped the cream to put on top of the strawberries picked from the vine and put it all in the ceramic bowl she'd made in college that rested on top of the doily. It was red and white and delicate and elegant, but she was always bad at accepting compliments. After the vines slowed for fall, she wanted to do something more rugged, so she called up a friend who knew a contractor and hired him on the promise that she could assist while they installed the side door in my brother's bedroom, just in case he ever wanted to go outside. "But he hates outside," I said, following them into Joseph's room for measurements. "Why can't I have a door?" "You're too young for a door," Mom said. My brother held his backpack to his chest, watching, and he gave a short nod when Mom asked if the location was okay. "How long will it take?" he asked. "We'll only work on it while you're in school," she assured us both, pulling out a notebook list of supplies. It took 3 weeks of sawing, sanding, destroying, and rebuilding. My mother in jeans, her ponytail tucked under the collar of her blouse, the contractor giving long explanations on sizing. Joseph slept under an extra quilted comforter once the wall had broken.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?